Today on Real Radio.
All of us have been born of our mothers in this world through water. We came from our mothers through water out into this world. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, but unless you're born from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We are, in fact, in a mini-series that focuses on the first six verses of chapter 10. It's one of the times where Paul uses military analogies to illustrate to the reader that the true believer is really engaged in warfare. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing with his multi-part series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
The world makes fun of us. The world throws things at us and says things about us. And listen, from their vantage point, from what they've seen in the news, from what they've seen by so-called Christian witnesses, that people perhaps were not Christians at all, they have formulated their view of Christianity, have they not? When you tell somebody you're a Christian, what do they normally do? Do they go, oh my goodness, I wanted to meet a real Christian, that's awesome. I haven't had that happen. I've had people go, oh, a Christian. And I don't know about you, but I don't let them get away with that. I fly a lot, and so because of that, I'll sit in an airplane, and somebody will say, hi, how are you? Excuse me. Okay, so, oh, what's your name? Jack. What do you do? Right in that moment, I'm tempted to sin. I want to say, I'm a teacher, and then I know they're going to ask, well, what do you teach? Bible. No, I'll just say, I'm a pastor of a church. Oh. Do you hear me? Are you with me? Why do they act like that? Because the church has given them that picture. They don't want anything to do with church. They don't want anything to do with Jesus because they think Jesus is the picture of the church. Listen, the church should be the picture of Jesus. And that's why I hope you're here at this church today. Because we're not in this for ourselves. I don't know about you, but I could go back to a career like this, and so could you. We're in this because it is eternal, life-changing, and it's of absolute value, the gospel of God. It transforms people. It is not our authority. Listen, how in the world could last Wednesday night have happened? If you were here, you were here. If you weren't here, you weren't here. Last Wednesday night, we had a Q&A session based on the parables that we've been going through. And nearly 40 people accepted Jesus Christ from a Q&A session. Why? Because the questions that were asked were answered with Bible verses, and it changed people's lives in the moment. How does that happen? It's not us. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the worship ministry. It's the power of God's Word. That's what happens. We are Christians. We're not in it for ourselves. It's not based upon our power. We don't have any. And gloriously so, it's not on our authority. It's all on His authority. And the Bible tells us why this is true. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I recognize that when Jesus died, listen, I have no right to point my finger at you. When Jesus Christ died on that cross in Israel 2,000 years ago, He was dying for me. Jesus died for my sins, for Jack's sins. And so when it says, I've been crucified with Christ, in a sense, church, listen, look at that verse. Jesus is saying, I'm on this cross, but I invite you to benefit from my effort here and now. I'm dying in your place, but you receive my life. And the Bible says right then and there, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This is not double talk. This is salvation speaking. But Christ lives in me. You don't work at Christianity to earn. God works in you to do. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Can you say that about you? You say, oh, I wish I could, but I'm a sinner. He loves sinners. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank God. The special weapons and tactics of the Christians not predicated upon us. Here we go. Number two is this. Our special weapons and tactics as we pick up our study in verses 3 and 4, it's this. You are engaged in a spiritual warfare, a supernatural war. Mark it down. By the way, that goes for those of you who are here today who are not Christians. You may not know it, but the Bible says you are engaged in a supernatural war. And as I said last week, the greatest thing that an enemy can do is to get the people, the nation, or the person that they're going to attack to believe they're not under attack. That's the greatest deception, is to keep you from thinking there's a spiritual or supernatural realm. And verse 3 teaches us this, that we battle in our own humanity. This is crazy. Think of it. This is crazy. I never would have concocted this plan. C.S. Lewis, the great philosopher and theologian, C.S. Lewis, and before that he was a famous atheist. C.S. Lewis said, after studying all of the world's religions, he said, I choose Christianity, I choose Christ, because the message of the Bible is so odd, it is so strange, no man could have thought that up. And here's one of those great things. The overwhelming fact of the Bible is that it is not a battle that we fight with human weapons, but we do it in our humanity. Because as the gospel is, so are we now, not of this world. Think of it. For though we walk in the flesh, look at verse 3. The word walk here means this, to export yourself. It's a very elaborate word, but it simply means this. This morning you got up out of bed, did you not? And you got out of your house and you rode your car or whatever, you got here. And to do that, you covered miles, I assume. That's what that word means. We walk. The word means to go about. Paul is saying the Christian goes about his life. Listen, everywhere you go, every move you make, every step you take, God is watching you. Not to smack you, but to say, hey, here we go. I, Jack, go where you go, and I want to shine through you. And if you're a Christian today, he wants to live his life and his witness and his example. Jesus is alive. By the way, go see the movie, Son of God. You can get born again watching that movie. Go see it. Go see it. Go see the movie. And after, listen, Jesus dies for your sins in the movie. Jesus is resurrected for our justification. And right at the end of the movie, Jesus says, I mean, it's not Jesus. It's the guy who plays Jesus. But he's saying, he says what Jesus said. He says, I'm coming soon. And the movie ends, and it's like, woo! Woohoo! And what do you think about that? I mean, there's a great scene there. Remember in the Bible when the Bible says Jesus dipped the bread in the cup and then handed it to Judas? Judas puts it in his mouth. I never thought about this. The Bible doesn't say this happened, but it sure makes sense. Judas puts it in his mouth, and then Jesus says, what you do quickly. Remember that? Judas gets up and he leaves. Goes out of the room, turns the corner, and spits up the bread. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And Judas, in his deception, would have nothing to do with Jesus. Listen, I guess it does have something to do with this message. Who possessed Judas? The Bible says Satan did. Spiritual power. Jesus made it very clear. You and I are either serving the world and its system, or we're serving God. There's no middle ground with God. But we fight this fight in our humanity. The word flesh here is that famous Greek word sarx. Sark, not shark, sarx, S-A-R-X. And it means this in the positive sense, in the reality, in nature. It means to be stripped down to your humanity as a human. We are living for a spiritual kingdom. That is a tremendous thing. The next argument is found in verse 3 as we continue on. We battle with our new nature. Not against our new nature. We battle with it. Though we are in our humanity, how do we fight the spiritual war? We fight it with our new nature. Jesus said, you must, fill it in, church. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. We read born again in the English. The more specific means to be born from above. That's why Jesus said in John 3, all of us have been born of our mothers in this world, through water. We came from our mothers through water out into this world. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, but unless you're born from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be born twice. We were all born once. We're here right now. Jesus said, great. But now that gift that's been given to you of life, you're to live it to the glory of God. Let me live my life through you. And to do that, you must be born from above, born of the Spirit. We fight in this spiritual war with our new nature. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Well, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That's written to every Christian, you guys. Are you a Christian this morning? This is our verse. What's implied here is this. A person who is not doing it rightly has been suited up for battle and is heading off to war. Now, those poor girls and guys, is it 70 pounds? Is that the latest weight of the backpack? I think it's 70 pounds. I hope it's not any more than that. But can you imagine lugging 70 pounds on your back 24/7 up mountains, through rivers, through deserts, 137-degree weather? That's tough enough. But this verse implies that a Christian who is in the war already, suited for battle in his armor, goes out to battle, and he's got the kitchen sink, he's got a toolbox, he's got his car, he's got his, are you with me? He's pulling everything behind him in a trailer. When we deploy our special forces, before they go on mission, they have a meeting, very personal meeting. And what's required of the special forces guys, they're questioned about it. Is your family in order? Do you have your will made out? They get rid of the business. Is your will made out? Is your family in order? Do your children know you love them? Are you being faithful to your wife? Is your conscience clear? Is everything good? Are you all right? Is your home life good? They talk a lot about home life. Isn't that interesting? Before they go to battle. Why? So their hearts are free, so they're not entangled and encumbered by the affairs of this life. Christian, that's a word to us that we need to prioritize what's going on in our world. That we need to be careful that we're not spending too much energy on things that don't or little matter. And as the world increases more crazy, we need to be stronger than ever. Please get ready. I beg of you, please get ready. But greater is he, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, that is the Holy Spirit of God, greater is he that is in you than he, that is a reference to the demonic powers of this world, than he that is in this world. We are to take the word of God and apply the wonderful promises of God. And then this is a great one, verse 4. We battle, listen to this, we battle from the victory. So he says, we do not war according to the flesh, that's obvious. But look, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Three words I hope they don't bore you. This is technical, but it's liberating. The Bible says, you, Christian, in this world, you're battling, though you're in your humanity, the flesh, this flesh, we've submitted to the authority of Christ. So being born again, we fight the demonic powers of this world and of the spirit world in our new nature. Our born again man, Jesus said. But what if we lose? You can't. But what if I fail? He will bear you up. But what if I have a meltdown? Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Well, what if I lose all my money? What if I lose all my health? What if I lose all my family? What if the world comes down? Listen, we came into the world naked, and we leave naked. Blessed be the name of God. Jesus said, behold, I am with you all the way to the end of the world. He'll never stop being with you, ever. And that, listen, many of us know this is true. When it's the darkest, most painful hour, our Jesus comes through. He will never abandon you. When all else fails, how is it Think about it. How is it when the world seems to be crashing in on people? They come to Christ. Their soul may wander from place to place, and they may try this spiritual attempt or this thing about that or the other thing, but they wind up settling upon the promises of God. Why? Because Jesus said, all the promises, the Bible tells us about Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. The word means in Hebrew, amen is the word true, are yes and true in Christ. And here the Bible says that you and I, the weapons that we have in this warfare are in God. The word weapons here is that famous Greek word hoplites or hoplon, from where we get the meaning hoplite. If you studied ancient world history, there are warriors called hoplites in the Grecian Empire. The Greek citizen soldier was a hoplite. And listen, the hoplon were the offensive weapons of war designed for his advancement. The hoplon, what he used, the hoplite used the hoplon for what? For advancement. And why does the Bible tell us that we're to use these implements of war as we'll go through them together spiritually speaking? Because, listen, the Greek soldier, which, of course, first century church age, the Bible is written in Koine Greek in the New Testament. The whole understanding was the Greek Empire, those soldiers believed. By the way, listen, any of you who have been in combat, listen to this. The soldiers of the Grecian Empire, and of, for that matter, the Roman Empire, of course, they believed so much in the cause, and in their case, Caesar and the Empire, or Alexander the Great before that, they believed that even if they died, they would be victorious. You say, well, what kind of a victor is that? The guy's dead. I agree with you. Now, it's a great way to send people into battle. George Patton put it this way. Gentlemen, tomorrow we're all going to be dead. So get ready for battle and just consider yourself already dead. You say, well, that's weird. Not exactly. If you're dead, you have nothing to fear. And they went into battle. The hoplon or the hoplite went into battle thinking, no matter what happens to me, the kingdom advances. And the apostle plays off of that ancient world truth. Go forward in this battle like a hoplite of the empire. Because no matter what happens to you, the kingdom's going to advance. And, oh, by the way, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, though a man die believing in me, yet shall he live. That's, oh, I'll see you guys later. That's enough. I mean, think of that. The believer dies and never dies because the believer dies in this world and wakes up in the next in the everlasting arms of God. How awesome is that? We fight from victory. The war has been settled. Jesus did that at the cross. Jesus said the enemy was defeated. That's the word weapons. The next word is warfare, and the word warfare means this, a protracted military campaign. It's not a battle, it's a warfare. A long-term military operation, a campaign, listen, that could go on until the end. And isn't that not the truth? We're at war until the end. And then the word is mighty. The word mighty here means powerful enough, capable enough, able enough, strong enough. So can I read it again? Look at verse 4. For the weapons, these advancing weapons that are designed for a long-term warfare campaign until the very end are more powerful enough to achieve the goal. Period. Mark your Bibles or turn there if you'd like. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul writes to the Ephesian elders. Old Paul now, elderly Paul. Won't be long until he is killed in Rome. By the way, Paul was killed in Rome for being a Christian. Isn't that interesting? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Everybody looking? Everybody watching? Be strong. Interesting. Now it sounds like Joshua chapter 1. God tells Joshua, be strong. Christian, just meditate on this. Do you need to be strong? Do you need strength? I need strength. I need a lot of strength. Do you need a lot of strength? The more you're involved in what God wants to do, the more strength you're going to need. And the more strength you realize you need, the weaker you understand who you are. And the greater the glory is to God. I think the sweeter heaven's going to be, for me anyway. When God says, "All losers over here," I'm going to run over to that part. No, he's not going to say that, but I'll be willing to run to that part. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. Whose power? His power. The power of his might, verse 11. Put on. By the way, this is a military term. Paul is ordering the Christian, put on what? Your whole armor, the armor of God. So what is that? God's promises. Church, listen. God's promises. Isn't it interesting? One of the first things we do with our kids is we teach them to memorize verses. Those little kids are putting on armor. Okay? Watch this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, not disabled, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be easy. But against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in or based in the heavenly realms. Christian, did you just hear that? In the book, I highly recommend it. Either buy the whole volume or the multi-edition versions of it in volumes. It's called The Christian in Complete Armor. It's one of the greatest reads that a Christian could ever embark upon. What Pilgrim's Progress is to the Christian believer, The Christian in Complete Armor is to the Christian soldier. It's by William Grinnell, and here's one of the things William Grinnell says in his great book. Note the sharpness of this mortal combat. It is the kind of combat which the Christian's state is here set out by. Here is the phrase. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. It tells us that our warring is of a wholly different sort than that wars fought in this world. The battles of this world employ implements of war that can be seen and heard. The spiritual war of the Christian is a war against a world that is evil, dark, a world at war with God, and the powers behind our enemy have nothing else to do but to scheme and to attack.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, a multi-part series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's one of a number of passages that speak of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer is indeed engaged every day. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series by Pastor Jack is available on DVD. It's a four-disc set that goes by the same title, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's four-DVD series. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.